and welcome to Mike's Cast with your hosts Greg, Mike, and...
You're damn right.
And we have our guest from the Florida timeline. Florida time zone, sorry. Matt is here because there's a subject we had... That's not a subject. A conversation we had offline that seemed to stir Matt up a bit. And so we thought it'd be great to bring him in and expose... Well, let me say this. Let me put it this way. One of the people on the screen, there's four you see, one of them has no information about what's happening in Carousel of Progress.
And Matt seems to always have his finger on the pulse of what WDI is doing and where they're failing and what the public wants.
We know because he doesn't trust them. That's why he's watching them like a hawk.
Hey, by the way, is your self-driving car in your garage yet?
Yeah, and we've driven it. We've driven it to because we did the previews for the Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster and Soarin' 250 or whether the whatever the new Soarin' is, Soarin' Across America, and it drove us there. And it was great.
Have you taped off your garage yet?
I did. Wait, to make a parking spot there so it identifies it. Yeah, I've done that. It's I still park it myself. It's a big vehicle for a small garage.
Because the guy introduced you to it, NAB, they used to sell pickleball courts, and they were supposed to be portable. You put the tape down, you peel it up, and you move on. Tape wasn't coming up.
Tape didn't come
up. You know, and their provider of the tape says it's supposed to be temporary, but it was anything but. So the customer base was a little PO'd. So he said he had some because I told him you were taping off your garage.
Well, I don't want that tape.
Well, sure you do. You don't want it to come up.
What if he's got to sell the place?
No, yeah. Well, yeah, that'll
be years down the line. You can, scrape it
off. I'm probably getting the garage refinished and everything. Ah, I was just testing out.
There you
go. Get that nice flooring. The nice flooring.
Don't have to worry about oil dripping on it now.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
true. There's like nothing. There's just...
well, not for that car. You must have another vehicle besides...
We do have a regular combustion engine vehicle,
Oh, nice engine.
All right.
An ice engine.
So,
all right, so
Richard,
changes are coming, Richard, to
Carousel of Progress. So we thought we'd capture what's the word I'm looking for?
Spontaneous.
Yes, thank you. Spontaneous reaction to the news of the great big changes coming to Carousel of Progress.
Okay, so let's ask the first question. You did know that they were going to introduce at the beginning, when you sit down and you hear the little blah, 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 this is Walt's blah, blah, blah. They were going to put Walt there. You knew that, right?
No, I did.
You didn't even, we talked about it on the show.
Did we?
We talked about a supposition.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
When we talked about the Walt animatronic, I know we talked about they're thinking about putting it in the Carousel of Progress.
So that's all we knew. And they had some artwork. You know, he's standing there with Epcot shit behind him.
Wait, I have that artwork handy here.
He'll be introducing you to the show. That's kind of where it started. But... like a podcast that used to be called Mouse Droppings, it was dropped and it's not looking good. An entire change to the entire family and every single scene, moving it forward into Matt, you can fill me in.
Let's go back on the timeline, right?
Okay.
Let's go back on the MiceCast timeline of this, right? Because you actually have been following this, right? You first started talking about the Walt animatronic with respect to Disneyland, but then also, just as you said, that it's coming to Carousel of Progress. Then we had a conversation a couple months ago where there were some videos floating around on social media where Imagineers were in Carousel of Progress talking about it. And I think this was the I Don't Trust Those People episode where I was like, they're in there. They're going to do something. It's really bad. And you guys are just like, oh, they're just going to put Walt in.
They're
going to
F it up.
No.
Yeah.
And I was like, or maybe let's do the end scene. And the end scene can always be replaced because it's
and
whatever.
It does need to
but I was
be
like, no, yeah. They're going to go in there and they're going to do something bad. And so I just wanted to, highlight my prescience there and
but
being able to realize that they are going to do something bigger.
But that's this is not the first attraction that you've said that about. And the track record seems to be pretty consistent on their debauchery as far as new attractions when they're revising old attractions into something new.
Right.
Track record is not good.
Not good when they have the ability to change the story significantly or the narrative behind it.
Because we know where we get the story writing, and that seems to be maybe the Walt Disney Elementary School up there in Burbank. They might be sourcing some of it there.
Don't forget there's the Walt Disney Elementary School just down the street here in Anaheim, too.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if they're going to Burbank.
Give them credit, too.
Because I think we need to get Disney into the dinosaurs. Details. But before we do, like, I think there's the two things that I just talked about that they've done previews or just opened actually for Memorial Day weekend in Disney World. They didn't have a lot of narrative flexibility, right? So Soarin' is Soarin'. I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but
we just talked about someone who found some problematic issues with the patrioticness.
Yeah,
of it.
You can listen. In about three weeks. It'll drop.
I'm eager to hear that episode for sure. But there's only so much you can do. It's a hang gliding thing. And then Muppets doing Rock and Roller Coaster, there's only so much you can do. It's really a pre-show. Right,
but remember, Greg already has a hard-on for Muppets. You don't like them.
You know what, Matt? You know what I find funny about this? Someone actually commented on one of the social media feeds, and the ride's still the same.
Obviously, it's still the same.
Did you think they were going to rebuild the roller coaster in there?
Did they change at least some of the signage on the inside, the black light signage?
Barely. So like when you're on the ride, so they added a couple things, but basically all of the set pieces are the same. They might have repainted them or something.
Or put a Muppet on it or something.
That's
right. That, right?
Yeah. That's right. There's like a chicken crossing instead of a whatever crossing. You know, it's the most Easter egg thing. The scooter animatronic in the pre-show is actually pretty good, but it's the same concept. You got to get.
We gotta get to the show.
Take you to a concert.
This one, Dr. Teeth, they're late. No, we can't
they're
do
late.
That.
An electric man Andrew.
Well, that's the thing. They say it's like the concert's been going on for an hour and a half or something like that. Because they try to throw in callbacks to the previous.
Yeah, yeah. Got
it's
a minute a big and a half. Yeah, thing. Yeah, okay.
But the exact same, well, that, the exact you know, same ride.
You could have done that with what's that Rob Reiner film where the times a band never even got to the stage because they got lost below.
Spinal Tap. You're talking about Spinal Tap.
That might have been a better fit.
But the thing here is, I don't think there was much for them to do to screw it up. So it's actually kind of fun, you know. And they could wipe it out and put in, you know, another Disney Channel thing or whatever, and it would all fit because it'd be the same story.
It's still GeForce Records, though. I noticed that too.
It's still GeForce Records. It's still all of that. Now, when we get to things like Carousel or what we saw with Tiana's or other things like that, now they're completely changing the story potentially, right? And that's where you start getting the cracks, and that's where you start having the problems, right, with Imagineering, I think.
All right,
and
so,
I've seen very few plus comments. Almost every influencer is gonna on their site, especially if they're getting fed by Disney and invited to things.
Yeah.
They're positive, but almost all of the reviews under their positivity are horrible.
Well,
with all right.
The
big thing I got to say about like something on Tiana's is, okay, I don't mind changing the story. I miss Song of the South. I like Song of the South. Grew up with it and all that. But if you're going to change the story, fine. But the one thing that Greg and Mike kept making the observation on is how empty the attraction is. They bunch all the characters up into one spot, and you have these big empty spots going through the attraction that you're kind of wondering, why am I even here?
Video projections, and all three of us came off with a different idea what the story was.
Yeah. All right, so before we reveal to Richard what's coming, I think a quick recap, right? Six scenes. The seating scene, they close the doors, there's a big gear hanging there, it says Carousel Progress, you get the rundown of Walt and the World's Fair. First scene, springtime, 1890. Right,
springtime for Hitler.
Yeah.
I'm raising my hand on here because now we're getting into that zone. I said all these stupid bloggers do is they spend 20 minutes telling us what we already know.
I just want to refresh. Well, so when you hear what's coming, you see how much of a jarring it is, right?
As part of the refresh, we should also mention that the original sponsor was General Electric, so it was all talking about. The electricity and electrical
and the new things. Scene two.
What holiday was scene one? Because they're holidays throughout the year.
Springtime.
Period pieces, yes.
Springtime, the birds are singing, so-and-so, I see. There was no holiday.
Oh, there was no holiday?
Okay. Not the first
one. It was a season, though.
Yeah, season spring.
Spring.
Right. Second one, 1920, was summer. 4th of July summer, was coming, right?
4th of July.
She's making his George and Martha costume, right? The daughter's got a problem.
Fan blowing in there.
Okay. Next season is fall, and it's 1950. Right?
Yep.
And then the last...
Halloween.
Yeah, it's all decorated. I don't think he talks about Halloween, but you can see it's decorated for fall.
The son has his werewolf costume.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah. And then
they're preparing. It may not be the holiday yet, but it's in fall.
They're preparing for Halloween.
And the last scene's the future, right? And for the last 40 years, it's been New Year's Eve 1999, right?
it's Christmas, right? Christmas.
Well, yeah. There was a time though that they were counting down the millennium. There was a part where the TV on the TV was
originally it was just New Year, Christmas and New Year's, but then when it got moved to Florida, they were talking about the millennium.
So, and then you know the smart house gets stupid and burns a turkey, whatever. Okay, so and then you're at the exit
one of the
scene.
Greatest gags, like build up gags though in Disney, like really, even though it's outdated, that's such a long gag that they're running there. It's fantastic.
And then you know last stage you're out. Okay, so here you go, Richard.
The talking wall.
The talking wall.
Now, remembering when it was in... Now, if you're going to go this far back, the last stage at Disneyland, you walked up a ramp
on the stage,
and you'll see Epcot, the model of what would be the future world.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, apparently, Walt's not going to be in the first scene anymore? That's new information to me. Walt's not introducing Carousel of Progress anymore?
As far as I know, he is.
Okay, because did you just say they axed that?
No, and I did not at all. It's still where you sit down.
Yeah.
And you got the explanation. I understand that's where the Waltz go. Okay, where else will Walt fit?
I dropped the picture in both the Signal chat and the Teams chat.
Yeah, I'll see it there.
Okay.
Yeah, Attractions Magazine says that there's still a Walt at the front.
All right.
Oh, gotta trust those guys, right?
I you know, there's so many different... I tried to pick one that wasn't.
All right, so Richard, here you go.
Hey.
So Act One, Walt introduces you, talks about the, you know, that's actually not, okay. So Act One.
It's the pre-show.
Act One, 1960s.
Okay.
Summer of 69, Summer of Love.
Are you putting up a picture?
No, there's no picture. I don't see
no picture.
Not from Disney Parks blog, unless there's a picture somewhere else. I'm just reading what the description says.
Gotcha. Okay.
The only picture
summer
I have.
Summer of Love.
Yeah. I said the Summer of Love. They're not calling it the Summer of Love.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Okay. 69. Summer. 68. Summer of Hatred.
Our Carousel family, along with millions around the world, gather on the television to witness humanity's greatest achievements, right?
The moon landing.
Yeah.
It was all fake. It was done in a sound studio. Okay.
Yeah. And Act Two, the 80s, where everything's bigger and better and things keep on getting bigger. We pick up with the family on Halloween night of 1985.
Especially the American population.
And for the first time ever.
The US Festival.
And for the first time ever, Sarah is taking center stage. John no longer has your whole attention.
Oh, yeah?
So Sarah, all the new appliances and gadgets are making her life.
Isn't the last scene of the current iteration all about Sarah? Like, she takes
sounds
over.
Like a storyline.
She kind of drives it. Yeah.
She takes over because it's also a thing. Like I think in every scene, because I've been reading a lot about this, in every scene in the current iteration, the woman speaks more. Yeah. And at the end, she's like, it just shows that the guy's an idiot and she's taken over.
Oh, okay.
And it's very empowering.
Well, you know? That's actually.
That's not the first time, right?
No. It kind of started. I heard it, and I won't tell you where I heard this analogy, but. Think of another Disney project back from the 80s with a certain guy, you know, that Home Improvement. Does she not emasculate him like in every show?
Oh, yeah.
They make him like a doofus.
Because
Gone is My Three Sons or the Brady Bunch where the father is, in some sense, right? Now it's about the emasculation of the men. The men have, you know, have had a monopoly on all this, and the dad's a doofus now. And quite honestly, most shows, dad's still a doofus.
right. Well, in the 80s,
but anyways,
John, he's out on the porch handing out candy. And Uncle Orville can be found in the bathroom with no privacy around here. So they nice little callback there. Act 3, the new millennium. With the 90s drawing to a close, our Kelso family is preparing to ring in the new millennium on New Year's Eve 1999. Amid the excitement of the countdown to 2000, a new thing called the internet is bringing John, Sarah, Jimmy, and Patty and the world closer together than ever before.
All thanks to Al Gore.
Yeah. And then, you know, whoever this Disney employee says, they add this extra little blurb here about, if you're anything like my family, not everyone is making it to midnight. All right. Act 4. Well, what's Act 4?
Oh, you meant they'd go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, that was a wild comment for someone to throw in there.
Yes, they fall asleep waiting for the countdown.
Never mind.
All right. As we reach the end of our show, we see the family one last time in the distant future. In an out-of-this-world home, from a helpful robot assisting with everyday tasks to space travel, the scene imagines a future where extraordinary innovation has become part of life and proves that a beautiful tomorrow is just a dream away. And, yeah, and then there's the picture. That
Richard, open up that picture so you can actually see the artwork that I think they went to the same elementary school or had one of the Imagineers kids draw. Because I gotta say, this is the absolute worst piece of art I think I've ever seen come out of Walt Disney Imagineering. I am not impressed at all. In fact, I think it looks like a bunch of pieces put together.
Really?
Later. Yeah, especially the robot. The robot doesn't look like it belongs there. It looks like it was drawn separately.
Oh, the dog, too. The dog looks like...
Yeah. Proportions are wrong. Perspectives are wrong. And, you know, obviously they don't know what's going on in the world because, you know, a wood burning fireplace is like persona non grata in California anymore.
Well, we're not in California, we don't have mountains like that in the background.
That's, well, who does?
Oh, yeah, we
but
do.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
Have pictures, we have mountains
is
like
this,
that.
Is this like the comment? There's no pines in Florida.
That's
but,
right.
We have the highest mountain in the lower 48. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You many places up north, even in the right places in Southern California, you can see mountains like this. Doesn't really, that's not the point. It's just like, you know,
it's pretty.
Did everybody that had an ability to draw leave Imagineering? So they're,
it's like thin on detail. Are you looking at this picture, Richard?
Yes, I'm looking at
it. And just so you know, Matt, it's the picture of the final scene that's been on every.
Yeah, are you squinting because you're getting close? Did you blow it up to a size that you can actually see? Because I know you refused to
pulled out another one.
I know you refused to put your glasses on. But I don't have a much, like Matt's saying, I don't have much confidence in what I'm seeing. I mean, the artwork, I mean, could it have been upgraded? Sure. Yes, Richard, they had a theme early on about the General Electric.
Well, they sponsored it, right? So it's all GE products.
And that all made sense. And, you know, I doubt if I, you know, I still haven't figured out why Apple doesn't sponsor anything at Disney. This would be a perfect Apple.
No, Apple's got to buy Disney, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They don't need to sponsor anything, they own it.
But tell me you know nothing about, well, I mean, the future is a hard thing to predict. Yeah. But what I'm looking at here is this sunken area where the fireplace is.
Scream 60s.
That's so 60s, 70s.
Same with the fireplace, well, the kind of fire, the bringing the indoors, bringing the outdoors inside. Outdoors that's in. Also,
this
that's
is
a
like
mid-century.
A whole retro future thing. That robot is, I'm telling you, if that's not straight out of, traced out of George Jetson.
Yeah, it's Rosie, right?
Yes.
It's Rosie shrunk down.
And that dog, I've seen that dog somewhere else.
You've seen the Jetsons, right, Matt?
Matt's a little younger. Yeah, you know what the Jetsons is?
Yeah.
Okay. You know Rosie the house robot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
also see the grandpa's alive in this one, unlike in the final scene.
Yeah, isn't that grandma and grandpa over there?
Or it could be
side?
Orville. I don't know. It could be Orville. Who knows?
That dog I've seen somewhere else. And again, it looks like it's been copied and pasted out of something else or traced. What
looks like the dog out of Pirates.
Okay, now tell me, there's a cake there.
Being decorated by a machine, yeah.
Dad's got a
Bowl and a whisk.
Bowl, okay. Somehow Dad's going to ruin something there. That cake's going to deflate. It's going to, you know, Dad's going to screw something up. And I take it this is the girl singing, the boy waving his hand because she's doing such a great job. The old rocket to the moon sitting there on the table.
I see that.
Yep. And mom, the matronly mom looking over everything as her art easel is set up by the window so she can draw the beautiful
lamp. Is that what that is? That's a lamp.
So.
That's a lamp on the.
That's a lamp
sure?
down there. Yeah,
yes.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
That's a lamp.
Yeah, all right. Fine. If you say so.
But, okay. I don't understand. Okay.
They kind of like have a conversation pit around the fireplace there, too.
Yeah, we mentioned that already. That's mid-century.
I thought you were talking about the lower pit. When you were talking about pit, I was thinking you were talking about.
I don't think that's a lamp, and here's why I'm saying that. It's so close to the ground. What's it lamping?
It's not an easel either.
The ground.
I've seen lamps like that.
Could be.
Okay, so you've been criticizing this drawing, but the lamp, it can't be a lamp because they wouldn't have put it so low. That's the one thing they would have gotten right.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. Now, actually, you know what it looks like? It looks like that couch is on a platform, and that lamp or whatever it is on that platform next to the girl with the guitar.
Dude, this is all 1960s furniture. This is all mid-century furniture.
Yes, yes.
Well, hey, I love mid-century modern.
So do I. Yeah. I do too, but come on.
And this doesn't scream the future.
This is the possible future.
I'm looking at this one site that's showing the picture too, because I got a better picture of it here. And it talks about the final moves to a distant future home featuring helpful robots, space travel, blah, blah. Imagineers drew on original concept sketches by Jean Hench.
Yes, I know.
So,
but how can it be a better picture? There's only one picture that I know of out of the final scene, unless there's just chopped up close-ups of the different areas.
This is coming from WDW Magic.
This looks nothing like John Hench drawings to me.
No, you know what it does remind me, though, of some of the cartoons of the 70s, like The Rescuers, you know, the way the people's faces look. Now, tell me what's wrong.
I just dropped what I think is a John Hench picture.
Okay. Tell me what's wrong, and maybe I'm going to be hypercritical here because I draw shit like this every day. What's wrong with that staircase?
Let's see. Where do we begin?
It's an anti-gravity staircase.
There you go. Okay. That's the future. Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You can't even tell where it attaches to the...
It's supposed to attach to the central column.
It's just drawn like shit.
Yeah, it is. This whole thing is... That's why I'm saying it looked like someone put some sketch paper over. Oh, here's a mid-century table. Like, here's a dog.
If Imagineering is listening to your show, which they should, because they would learn so much, like all they have to do is change this background from the mountains to make it the moon. And then it's way better.
Sure.
You don't have to change anything. Just make it the moon. Yeah. Make it space.
How about that staircase? When you get towards where it disappears in the hole, you're going to hit your head. Because I think the treads are too close to the ceiling before the hole opens
that's
up.
True.
There's a lot of
maybe it's just for the robot to go
up. Oh, yeah. the robot's probably got a little elevator inside that central tube. Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. And that piece that's hanging on the wall over that piece of furniture.
That looks like Mondrian. Like
that's way too high for the average person. It's like, oh my God, there's so much. And talk about not being able to show how lighting works.
It's just lit from the everywhere.
I guess only two people, you know, out of this family, what, five or six, will ever sit at that bar, because those bar tools look permanently attached to the ground adjacent to it. But I don't know.
All right, so
I don't know.
Is there a problem? So the picture for the final act does not portend well with the changes to everything else.
Well, none of the drawings actually do.
Is there other drawings? Do you have access to other drawings? This is the only one I've seen.
It's like the promo one.
I've seen the attraction poster drawing, but I haven't seen an actual
and none
other
of
scenes.
None of those look good. None of that.
With that drawing of the final scene, you could just do that without changing any of the previous scenes, right?
Absolutely. There's nothing in that drawing that's like,
oh, this makes sense why they're redoing the whole thing, right? So you could just change the final scene. It's not that great, but it's not that bad. I'm just worried about the narrative connective tissue between all of the scenes and what's the story of progress, right?
Well, you're actually thinking there's going to be a bit of tissue connecting it. I don't think there.
I mean,
some of the things. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what I agree with, is what's the story going to be? I mean, okay, granted, you're talking about the moon landing. Okay, so 85, what are we talking about there? In 2000, we're talking
October
about the
October of 85, what, yeah, was there anything?
Oh, yeah, I gave Matt a whole list of, like, the top things that happened in 1985. Is that in our text strip?
Probably.
Because I thought it was kind of funny, and then he was kind of like, yeah, no. Here we go. In 1985, Halloween pulp culture was defined by a television premiere of Garfield's Halloween Adventure, the home video release of Ghostbusters, the hit costumes like Elvira and Hulk Hogan. Additionally, professional wrestling hosted an infamous Halloween party on television, and Congress debated the daylight saving time extension. Those were highlights from.
There's nothing.
Okay.
Culturally important in 85 that I could think of.
Yeah, other than they wanted to hit the 80s.
So you got the moon landing. There's my thumb right there. So you got the moon landing here and stage one, and you have the internet on stage three, which was huge. I mean, we didn't even realize how
internet
big it was
and millennium tied together.
Millennium tied together.
So stage two is,
and then stage four is just strictly blue sky stuff. So
which will age and look like shit so fast. It's not even funny.
Yeah, but yeah, so. How does that get tied together with 1985? So what's the narrative? I agree with Matt 100%. Before we were talking about electricity and generally electric. So what's the narrative on here? Because these are different things going on that are, granted, we're going without a sponsor, it sounds like. So it's just anything we can do culturally. But again,
okay, you know, what because are we trying to convey? They're roughly skipping 10, 15, 20 years between scenes.
We did that in the first one too.
But I'm thinking with
intention. But, 30 years of pop.
Yeah,
intention.
But I'm thinking the intention here is not to go from the 60s all the way to the millennium without some kind of mid stop. The problem is nothing significantly. Probably the greatest music generation of all time.
I'm sure we can.
The thing that gets me here.
Let's put Jeff Lynne out there.
There you go.
The thing that gets me here, and I was just. Fact checking myself is that I don't remember there being a reference to a year in the current Carousel of Progress. And my quick fact check here is it's the turn of the century. It's the fabulous 40s or whatever. It's, you know what, we don't know what year it is. We know what decade it is by the context. Yeah,
correct.
Well, so why is it 1985? Yeah. Why isn't it the 80s? Like the moon landing is a specific thing. And sure, you could tell a story about progress with these discrete events, but the current Carousel of Progress is really talking about how the people in these eras thought things couldn't get better.
Right?
It couldn't, like, right now what we're living in is the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. Everything's already been invented.
What else can there be?
As an intellectual property guy, like, I think it's, you know, everything that could be invented has already been invented.
That's what people always think. That's why we had that horrible song. Now is the best time.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know why it was horrible to me? Because I grew up with It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. So there's a lot of people that never heard that, or that they changed the voice of the father when they moved it to Florida. And the first time we saw it in 75, my mom immediately says, was it Rex Allen that's the original voice, Disney?
Wouldn't know.
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
But your mom is like, that's not the right guy.
Oh, initially, she's like, that's not the right guy. Yeah.
But I mean, you can, we don't have to be 69. We could be the 60s. We're talking about the moon landing coming up, and we got all these rockets.
Yeah, they could, or just the space race in general, right? It doesn't have to be specific.
'90s looking into the new millennium. We got the millennium coming up, and we got this new thing called the internet coming up. Because I mean, let's face it, that was that went back a few years in the '90s, anyways. But you can deal with that. But you know, okay, so how do we tie the moon land? You know.
Oh, I know how you tie
culturally,
it.
Culturally,
I know how
culturally,
I know.
Or yeah, what was it? Was it great? It was making the comment, or Matt that was making the comment about this is supposed to be great. It doesn't get any better.
I'll tell you how you tie the 60s to the 80s. Instead of October of 85, it's January of 86.
Well, that would be not Greg's, the greatest time.
Greg's, come on, Greg. No,
I can think of 86 as the shuttle explosion.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That's what he was going for.
You're talking about the moon landing in 1969. You can talk about the
shuttle. I just think through the shuttle crash.
I think making that work in a Disney park would be a challenge. That's all I'm
going to say. That'd be like blowing up the Chinese laborers.
And then realizing, oops, we're going to cut that out. Though.
Okay, so I did find it. Rex Allen is the original World's Fair and Disneyland version. And then... Gene Shepard, best known for narrating A Christmas Story, is the Walt Disney Carousel of Progress in Florida. Yeah, that's what it says here by AI Overview.
Interesting.
But I thought Rex Allen was the right one. He's got a very distinctive voice. You know what scares me even more than this bad artwork and the potential monstrosity this could be?
What?
The song and the voices of the characters.
You think they're going to change the tune?
Where does Carousel of Progress even make sense in this? I mean, moon landing's a progress. What in 80s is a progress? And then, yes, the future,
well,
depending on how they show the future, that's progress.
They don't care about progress. So if you look at these dates,
it's just time
these events, if you look at this timeline, these are events that's the opposite of the current Carousel of Progress, right? So these are events and times when everyone knew that tomorrow was going to be different, right? Like the space, the moon landing, or like, you know, the end of the 90s, you knew that the internet was coming. It was going to be transformative. People knew that it was going to be transformative, right? We were already in a bubble. So this is like
and
the opposite.
And we had Y2K.
And Y2K, right? But like all of these things were, tomorrow is going to be better. Right.
Well,
so it's kind of the opposite. Maybe you can make something out of it.
Well, the 80s
it seems weird to me.
Yeah. The 80s could introduce home computing. Because when did, you know, Apple, Commodore, Atari, not the gaming system, but the computers, they hit in the 80s.
Early 80s.
Yeah. Yes. Macintosh, right. You know,
you
can have all of that for sure. But you see what I'm saying? It's like the opposite.
Yeah.
Versus we have it better than anyone ever could. It's not going to get better. This is like, what's coming?
Which is kind of a timeless aspect of progress, right? People living in their time, they have no frame of reference to figure out or think how it might get better. So they think, this is great. What I have now is awesome. That's a timeless story.
Actually, you could, because this is one thing I always had to try to explain to my grandmother. You could use the moon landing, and you're talking about, the computers, they got these super magnificent computers that have 16,000 bits running through them. It takes two rooms to hold these, and that's how they got astronauts in the room. And now you're getting into your home computer that has how many megabits to it. And you're talking about, it's not going to get any better. I remember in the 80s, or actually early 90s, when I had my first computer, and I got a 500 megabyte hard drive. This is going to hold everything I will ever need.
I had 2 megs of RAM.
I don't think any 2 megs. 500. I think you more had a 25 megabyte hard drive in the 80s.
40s were
not
big.
Not a 500.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It was more in the 90s when I got the 500.
My first PC I bought 93, I think, 92. And it was a 386, had 2 megs of RAM. 40 meg hard drive. And then I had to go out and buy the graphics card.
Most of the handheld calculators of the 90s had
more computing power.
Quadruple the amount of the Apollo landing.
Oh yeah.
stuff happened. But I don't know. It scares me to know. Now, and the other thing is, is this how they really intend the characters to look?
Do you think they're going to reuse the figures?
I would think you would reuse the figures if you could. I mean, it's not like new CEOs.
Then why draw them like this? You know what I'm saying? When see the original drawings of pirates and you see pirates executed, they pretty much look the same. You know, why would you draw this monstrosity second grade artwork an advertisement for something you're going to do positively?
So your heartburn is the imagery, not the changes to the story.
Oh, no. I got equal heartburn for that. Okay, but you can't trust them leading you by the nose because you know that there are going to be a lot of Disney fans that are just going to be fainting over this. You can't present me something that makes me interested in it. At least the Tiana's artwork was a little better, was much better than this. Execution, horrible, but artwork at least looked in the right direction. This does not give me confidence that they can write a story, sing a song, present it very well to me.
So you wanted my reaction on all this from the first
time. Yeah.
So my reaction, this reminds me a lot of what, what's his name? Greg's favorite Imagineer with Big Thunder Mountain.
Tony Baxter.
Tony Baxter thing. This sounds like that whole little thing I went to on Tony Baxter over at TDA, where he's talking about changing Main Street because Main Street at the turn of the 20th century just doesn't have the same feeling to guests as it did back in the 1950s. There's not the reference. We talked about this before. I made my two bits and we can talk about that later. But in this particular case, I kind of look at it as, yeah, this one I can see where you want to do it because a lot of your adults, us, i.e., we have a reference going back to the 60s and the 80s, while the kids don't necessarily have it. And so you're going to have a generational thing that's going to work in there. I can see the update, but I'm going to refer back to Matt. His comment is, how do you do a narrative? What is the storyline going to be? What is it going to be, something that's worthwhile? Is it talking about progress? And what Mike was saying, does it make you feel good? Like it's something better tomorrow than what we have today.
Yeah. Okay. Here.
But no one that I know that's alive was around at the turn of the century and remembers anything.
No.
So it's like the early, I think it's a great perspective for young audiences.
So you see,
to
what
see this, you learn something.
Cooked with wood, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's
like the scene with the electricity. Pole, wasn't in your walls.
It strung out on extension cords.
Like it was. That's interesting.
You could actually store milk.
How about
because before that, milk was
go
it,
bad.
It expired quickly.
You needed it every day or every other day.
Yeah, you got it every morning.
So the common thread through current Carousel Progress is appliances, our new ice box. Right, our new oven, our new dishwasher,
and that's a relic of the General Electric
sponsor. Okay, but if they want to make an homage to the original Carousel of Progress, how much have appliances changed since the 60s, other than colors and microwave ovens?
Well, I've been reading a couple different while we've been talking about skimming a couple different. I saw it in one report, and I just wanted to make sure it wasn't something that they were hallucinating through their AI authors here. No one actually is writing anything on these Disney fan sites anymore. I think it's all AI. But anyways, I've seen a couple different places that have mentioned in the 90s scene, they're going to have a lot of single-use appliances. And I'm like, why is that? There's so little information there, but in the 90s, there's going to be a lot of single-use appliances. So I wonder if this is like an anti-consumerism message.
Could be.
In the future,
that sounds like
you don't need a lot of single-use appliances. Yeah, I think in my home today, I have a lot more single-use items, even though they're smaller, like IoT things, than we did in the 90s.
What would you consider a single-use appliance from the 90s? What would you consider a single-use?
Bread maker. Bread maker.
All right.
I don't know.
Rice cooker. Okay. I get you.
Rice, but I still, we have a lot of, we still use single-use appliances. Yeah. It's not like what?
What,
I don't know.
What multi-use appliance?
I keyed in on that, and I think there's going to be some subversive message around single-use appliances in the 90s, and we're going to move past it. And I don't know if it makes me a little uncomfortable. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what it's about.
There's not a single multi-use appliance that's good at anything.
Okay. Really?
80s were the 80s and the 90s were when you had the DVD VCR players that were always broke. One of them broke, and the other, so the VCR part broke and the DVD worked or whatever.
We had an air fryer and a toaster oven. And now we got one that's both, and it's shitty as both. It's a shitty toaster oven. It's a shitty air fryer. What,
Greg? Yeah, I've got a microwave that supposedly is an air fryer too. And the buttons you have to push in the sequence to get it into the, like, that mode. The other is mode. Like, I miss it. It's like dialing your phone.
Takes two people.
Yeah,
that's from Saturday Night Live. Two people to turn the watch on.
or try to teach a kid today how to use a rotary phone and not really, you miss a number, you got to start over. Okay, wait. Now,
hang
when
up,
I was a kid,
and start over.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we had a lot of, and I'm talking 60s and 70s, a ton of single use appliances. Toaster.
Yeah.
Everybody had a toaster, single use.
Yeah.
You know,
but you can make toast and Pop Tarts with it.
we had a popcorn maker by Jiffy Pop.
Yes. Airtight?
No.
Oil? Still oil? Okay.
But on the back of the Jiffy Pop bag, they had a thing you could send in, and it was a very good popper. I really wish they'd make them today. Let's see what else. We had a deep fryer to make French fries, something like that.
Tacos.
If that's your thing.
Fry the shells,
That's not the way.
I remember the tacos your mom used to make.
Fry the shells.
Delicious.
They were not in a deep fryer. They were literally on the stove fried back.
Were they there? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In a pot, in a regular frying pan. Okay.
Frying pan, yeah, cast iron, that kind
they
of
were
stuff.
Still good.
So we had blenders. These are all single use.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm trying to think what multi-use appliance out there could they be all in on?
I don't know. I just picked up on it in the 90s, and I think I'm worried that it's just it's a signal for me.
Yeah, see, like I would think.
No, it's a red flag. It's your naturally suspicious nature going.
I'm suspicious, but also if they did an anti-consumerism message, it would be very interesting coming from a company that wants you to buy thousands of pins and popcorn.
Yeah,
buckets,
no shit.
But
or,
that's a different.
Or the whole spirit of the thing was is consumerism based. Buy a new oven, buy a new icebox, put electricity in your house.
It'll make your life better.
I can see if going against things like Keurig, where you just toss, it's like that kind of single use where you toss out the mechanism that you've used to get your extract from, right? Because those things, or plastic water bottles, we no longer need to use plastic water bottles because they can be piped right in your house. Yeah, since
I tell my kids that. I tell my wife, I pay so much a month for you to walk over to any sink in this house, flip a switch, and water comes out. Why do I need to pay?
You got filtered water?
No. City water.
Just your water.
City water is more regulated than any bottled water you buy.
I'm totally with you there. Go ahead.
What's that, Matt?
I would love to see the carousel of progress that you three would create, and it would be like the carousel of... whatever the opposite of progress.
Grumpy old man. We're stuck.
We didn't have planned obsolescence in the 60s and 70s.
All our shit still works. We bought in 1940, right?
The opposite of the carousel of progress would be the carousel of Congress.
Yeah, that's fine.
When I was a youth. I don't.
That's so funny. We go the same place.
When my parents bought I can absolutely say that when I helped my mom sell her house, it still had the same cooktop from the 1970s, never broke. Same ovens, never broke. She only had two sets of washers and dryers, and that we bought the house in like 1970s, sold in the 40 years later, right? I can't even count how many washers and dryers I've replaced, and some of them that I kept fixing and taking apart and buying parts. Now the parts store's gone, so you can't find them and fix them as easy. Shit doesn't last. My double oven, it should have been swapped out 10 years ago, but I refuse to buy another one right now. One of the ovens still works. Now if the other one drops out or, it's gone, but shit doesn't last. I can tell you how many microwaves I've had.
Oh, and here's the funny thing. Microwaves,
coffee makers,
the microwave function still works. It's the panel that usually craps out where you punch in the numbers or you dial up the functions, a little control thing like ours. The display hasn't worked in like 6 years.
So you just estimate.
No. You just punch in 30 right? You just, you know, but you can't see the countdown. You can't see,
no.
You know.
I should have said my double oven was a microwave oven, and I wish I'd got the double. The microwave one does. It spins. It doesn't heat up.
No.
And I read online a little bit about how to fix it. And his grandma, my Johnny, my grandson's really great at fixing things. I'm like, that's a disaster waiting to happen. But I guess you can fix some of these. I'm like, not worth it.
When you have people over, do you like throw a bunch of aluminum foil in there and turn it on and see if they freak out?
That's funny.
That's great.
It's become a storage area for the pizza,
pots and pans.
Pizza brick thing that, you know, we cook pizza on. Pots and pans, things like that. Yeah, just don't turn it on with all that shit in there.
That's what decides to wake up and start working, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it would be. But yeah.
I should show you some pictures when my grandmother put a steel casserole dish in the microwave to heat it up.
I saw that personally.
Yes.
I remember. I think about the progress. Like, my grandparents were a little older than yours, Richard. And what they saw in their lifetime, and they literally did see progress. I mean, horses to automobiles, planes to landing on the moon.
Yeah.
You medical know, improvements. I mean, medical improvement. The life extension that people have had in this period
you know,
of time
from,
is amazing.
From hey, Mary, how's going on? You know, we can actually talk. To computers. I mean.
To cell phones saw, and FaceTime.
They saw shit. You know what I've seen? Computers come in the home. Short of that, okay, my phone doesn't have a cord anymore.
Well,
but it's still a phone.
You can produce a pretty well done YouTube channel, you know, with equipment that you could
with your phone.
The ability, the democratization of technology to communicate, like the communication technologies really are,
and the techies all
more
want to
important
go there,
than you're letting on, but,
right?
Yeah,
techies want to go there. I still have cars. Cars aren't flying. You know,
yeah, where's my jetpack? Yeah.
They drive you to Disney World.
I don't have a jetpack. You know, there's we haven't gone beyond the moon. I mean, there's so much. When I was a kid,
barely
I
got
thought,
back to the moon.
Yeah, as a kid, I thought we'd already be living on the moon, on the way to Mars, if not already there, and a whole bunch of other places. No, we're still circling the planet.
You have a computer in your pocket, though.
So. Actually, I liked it better when I was not tethered.
You have to be tethered. Like, you have the option to leave it behind.
You do. And, happy life, happy wife, right? So there are certain things you do.
So you weren't tethered before to the wife?
No, you can ignore. I mean, how are you going to answer?
Ignore. Okay.
You should know better, Mike, than ask that question.
I'm just wondering, you know.
But just in general, people didn't think they had instant access to you. Like
yes.
they do now,
yes.
You know, it's clients that expect you to answer right away and get back to them even sooner. I love this technology. We couldn't have done this. We would all have to get together and have some very expensive equipment to record all this.
Yeah. Sound and video, right?
And we've tried over the years with some of the really early on home systems. the money we put in and the crap it put out. And but, you know, it's not like we've gone from a world with no planes to planes. Oh, my God. And to the moon. I mean, the generation before us or our grandparents, they really saw a change in the world. Sure. We've got technology. We can see each other instantly.
If you think of all the technology in just 10 years since 2016, that has come, aged out, and gone. It was the new hotness just 10 years ago, and now it's like, what? So
give us an example.
The technology burn cycle gets faster and faster.
Okay.
Well, let's see.
Don't talk about Netscape and...
No.
That was before then.
Comes to my mind real quick is this goodie that sits behind me here. That's what we grew up with as kids. That's what took us to the moon and everything. But now you got someone like Elon Musk that has not only rockets that are landing like we thought they would back in the 50s and 60s, landing back on the launch pad. He has that one that's in Texas where it lands right at the launch pad and the gurney
grabs
hold
it,
of it.
Grabs it like little tweezers.
Grab-Yilla? Is that what it's called?
Something like that.
Yeah.
You have you have Blue Origin that can put really good fireworks on a launch pad over in Cape Canaveral. By the way, did you guys notice something on that explosion that as the base of it was exploding, suddenly the second stage had an explosion come out of that? Like, okay, was it like...
So it's working its way that... up the rocket. Well,
it looked like a couple different parts that exploded simultaneously. Conspiracy. It was just kind of... That's what I want to say.
I don't like the shape of the rockets are make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. That looks like a big whang. Yeah. What are you doing here?
that's Austin Powers, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Johnson!
I'm with Matt on this. I don't see any connective tissue. I don't
see. No, they're gonna fuck it up. Let's call it like we see it. They're just gonna fuck it up. So
tell me, I mean, Matt, you looked around. How many positive people do you see about this versus the negatives?
Well, I get a lot of the scoops, I hear about it and text you guys, because I follow the people that sort of banded together on X in the wake of the demise of Splash Mountain. So I follow the crowd that is similarly situated in mind share to this group and probably your audience. But so I see a lot of negative there, but I haven't on any, you know, social, like the Instagram crowd. I don't follow TikTok, but I imagine it's similar to Instagram, or in the, you know, news sites, and I'm doing air quotes there. Yeah. I don't see anything negative there. If they wanted to be negative, they just straight report. I think people are still worried about losing access and everything.
See, my problem. That's every influencer I've seen so far and that made the announcement because, you know, once one person does it, they all got
to
jump in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because no one wants to be scooped.
Exactly. And it could be something stupid like the release of a new churro. Then everybody in the world, oh, I found this secret path behind the Columbia. And then 20 other people do the secret path behind Columbia and then give it 6 months and that secret path will come back again. The only real, it's all been negative. People like don't like it with really small exceptions where people just want to see change. They're not for the nostalgia. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, the Magic Kingdom is, my kid's Magic Kingdom is almost gone. I mean, there's really hardly anything left. Pirates, Tiki Room, and they fucked that up once before. So, you know.
But at least they reversed that.
Magic Kingdom is quickly becoming a Six Flags of Disney, right? Like, they're getting rid of. It's really depressing. There's not a lot to say there. Like, Magic Kingdom is my least favorite park. It's the one we visit the least for obvious reasons.
And it was always the one
first and last. Liked
to be my last day. Because. Yeah. In 75 when I went, you know, it was the only one there. In 82, only one. And it was kind of a close to Disneyland thing. So it had happy memories for me. And I'd like to end my trip there. Now, I might not. I don't know. And why does everything have to be a mile-a-minute thrill? Now, granted, this one is not. But it's also not a new attraction. It's something that some research person they paid thought that people don't get it. They don't connect to it.
The person
it's too out of touch, you know. But I'm seeing a lot of people that like the nostalgia. Now, we've talked about it, it's not a museum, but don't fuck it up. You know, this really is the last attraction that you can really say Walt had a hand in that they haven't fucked with. They haven't really done too much to Small World. It's still basically the same with a few things thrown in there.
Peter Pan's overall, still pretty solid.
Well, I meant like, yeah, I shouldn't go back that far. I was thinking of the World's Fair stuff that they have effed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, Peter Pan's still pretty solid. Of course, we still have all the dark rides that you guys lost. Toad, you know, those kind of things.
They have Pooh, though.
Yeah. I think Winnie the Pooh is fine. Like, it's still in that, I mean, it was built with that old Imagineering core and everything, you know?
It, to me, you know, well, you're talking about your pile of poo or our pile of poo?
We have no pile of poo.
Magic Kingdom one.
Yeah, we do.
We still have poo. That's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else.
Because our poo, I don't think, is up to the the quality of a dark. It's too big and open. You know, dark rides, in my mind, you know, we've had this argument before. What's a dark ride versus an Omni New Mover ride? And my big black book of from Imagineering that shows the times and the weights and all that very categorically did not call Haunted Mansion a dark ride. Now, I know a lot of people in the, you know, it's amusement industry call it a dark ride because it's dark.
And it uses black lights, yeah.
And uses black lights. And to me, Fantasyland rides were what I grew up thinking of as dark rides. And in every one of those dark rides, they point you at what you want to see. That vehicle is pointing in the direction of what they believe is you should be looking at. And yes, you can look left and right. I don't think I've ridden your Pooh. It's so big and open, spread out like Ariel. It's hard to call them a dark ride because you're like, you know, there's just
you're taking in all the detail, yeah.
And it's all over there. Where we could have kept one theater of
Country Bear,
and had a traditional smaller Pooh dark ride in the same footprint. I really believe we could have done that based on what Fantasyland has. But no, we ripped out two theaters and put in that. I mean, I write it. It's a distraction now and then. If you're there, the lines aren't usually too long. Write it. But I don't think it was a great attraction by any means, but I don't know.
Well, you know, there's a couple comments I can make on that and Roger Rabbit, but that's for another show.
So, that no longer spins.
Yeah.
No. And you're at its whim. Sure. It's not even point that. You where they want you to see. It's just randomly kind of doing its thing.
Here's something. Here's a little bit of hope, right? If the new Carousel of Progress in...
By trying to find hope in this.
Yeah, I'm trying to be optimistic. let's say that we do the Carousel of Progress, and even though we all don't think so, they don't fuck it up, and it becomes... puts more butts in seats and they think they have, I'm not going to say a hit, but you know, it's doing well, right? They revived it somehow. Maybe we'll get it here because our carousel building is still standing.
How about just give it to us back the way it was?
Oh yeah.
It'll be new for our people and develop something new over there.
Yeah,
that has nothing to do with carousel, but that would cost too much.
They need to make new animatronics for ours.
Ours are all
over. Ours are there.
Well, grouped together in one spot.
That's what I said. Just Splash. Send it back. You've had it long enough. You're going to fuck with it.
Oh,
bring it back, you know.
All right. So our conclusion is be very afraid.
Be afraid. I mean, maybe they figure it out, you know. Like, maybe there's a pathway here, but there's some signals that don't look so good.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
They're definitely crossed.
Yeah, it's gonna be bad. I don't like to be pessimistic, but it's gonna be bad. Nothing recent makes me think it's gonna be good. Yeah,
I will hold out hope.
You do that for us, Richard.
I will.
All right.
Company shill.
With that being said, I want to thank our guest Matt for joining us on the last minute. Thanks, Matt.
We always
enjoy. We have good conversation with you.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. And for everybody else, we thank you for listening and we wish you a good night.